I'm Sud.
And I'm Grace.
And this is 413?
Yes.
I remembered. It's a something to do with the plague. There.
Death is in the air.
I thought when I saw that title, this was going to take place on an airplane.
Oh.
Like that one Supernatural episode. A genuinely very good Supernatural episode that did not take place on an airplane.
I need to rewatch that episode.
You should. It's season one, which means it's automatically actually really good.
Yeah,
Anyway, okay, we're we gotta keep moving. It's like, alright, who wrote it?
Alright, so this...
Who's in charge of this disaster?
This was written by Bill Callahan and Anupam Nigam.
Okay.
And it was directed by Steven Sergic.
Sergic? Sergic.
Sergic, with a U.
Oh, okay. I was thinking S-E-R, like Sergey.
No.
Okay. I guess not. Cool. Okay.
Yeah, we had a couple guest stars. Did you recognize anybody from any sort of movie you may have seen previously?
Would you like the full story? Would you like the full story of how I didn't recognize anyone? Because absolutely not. I did look at their faces.
Okay.
I did, I promise. It was also 3:30 in the morning this morning, and I did have a blinding migraine, so everyone is just sort of a blur.
Okay. So we had Ernie Grunwald as Donnie Lieberman.
Okay.
Colin Douglas as Dr. Tony Mallon. Apparently his first name is Tony.
Tony.
And then Judd Nelson.
That was Judd Nelson?
Yeah.
What?
I know.
What?
I know.
And he wasn't in the Ally Sheedy episode? How dare
as
they, first
Dr.
of all.
Dr. Stephen Reedman or whatever.
That was like the friendly one, not the villain one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The one that was a little too
flirty with Sean. He's like super flirty.
Yes.
Okay, good. I wasn't the only one reading that in the room. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That
was Judd Nelson?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
he's
now
old.
They have 2 out of the 5 Breakfast Club.
The rest.
I gotta collect all 5.
What's his name? The nerd boy was on Community, so he's still in acting.
Yeah.
And he's aged all right. He looks like an old version of himself. I'm sure at some point I knew his name.
He has 3 of them.
Not Chad Michael Murray.
No. Anthony Michael Hall.
There you go.
Yes, he has 3.
Chad Michael Anthony Hall Murray.
Oh, dear. But we almost didn't have Judd Nelson for this episode.
Did he die? What's happening?
No. They offered the part to Crispin Glover.
I don't know who that is.
The guy who played Marty McFly's dad in Back to the Future.
Oh yeah, Marty McFly had a dad. Sorry.
That's the whole point.
I'm sorry.
Of the entire effing movie.
I'm not looking at him. I'm looking at his hot mom. So
okay, valid. Valid. Oh man. But yeah, they wrote the part for Crispin Glover, but he turned it down. So that's
what you get for writing parts for specific actors.
Yeah, so
is that why they were Back to the Future references?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no.
I know.
Oh no.
It's like they just kept him in there. They didn't even make any sense. They're just like,
they made absolutely zero sense in a way that was very, very weird. So I was like, why are you doing that? Maybe I'm just tired.
No.
I am just tired. It is 3 a.m. My head does hurt. Mm-hmm. Like,
So the trivia for this is something else. This episode features Judd Nelson.
Correct.
In season 3, episode 2, Sean dresses as Judd Nelson's character from Breakfast Club. Yeah, we know.
We were there.
I know I was there.
I was there when the stone tablets were written or whatever the heck that quote is.
It's some sort of, I think it's from like Narnia.
I know. I was there when the old something was written. I don't
prophecy,
know. I was there.
It's like the ice witch. I don't know.
It's
been a long time since the movie.
It's just been a long day, so.
Okay, so when Sean and Gus are talking to Jules, Sean says, "You know me, Mr. Non-Judgmental." Gus responds, "They also call him Mr. Dabalina." Sean says, Mr. Bob Dobelina. Bob Dobelina. Mr. Bob Dobelina is the name that Peter Tork of the Monkees repeats over and over again in the song Zilch.
How specific of a reference do you need to make?
It gets
for one boomer to catch it.
It gets
and Grace.
It gets better. I actually did not catch that because
wow. So it's too obscure.
I'm a Davy Jones girly. I love Davy. Like, I'm not no Peter. No,
I too love the depths of the ocean. Yo ho ho, Davy
and then
Jones.
Followed by because there's some fighting in the trivia section.
Oh great!
The Mr.
The girls are fighting.
The Mr. Bob Dobelina reference is not a reference to Zilch. It's a reference to Del the Funky Homo Sapien. This is more logical due to the fact that Sean grew up in the late 80s, early 90s, and often makes other references to other underground and popular rappers from his childhood. And the song would have debuted when he was in high school.
Wouldn't that song have been referencing the Monkees, though?
And even though the Monkees would be possible, it's less likely due to his character's taste in music. However, the song by Del samples Peter Tork's track from the original, so technically that's where it comes from.
I'm dead inside, thank you. Jesus Christ, the girls are fighting over nothing.
Timothy Albinson, Sage Brocklebank, Ernie Grunwald, Suzanne Ristic, Dimitri Chepovetsky, and
the struggle is real.
Balatros started Supernatural.
I'm proud of them. Do you think all of these people were people who were murdered in Supernatural episodes dying of different things?
I'm pretty sure that, like, that main guy, I recognize him from a bunch of other stuff.
The guy with the weird comb over?
No, the guy who, like...
Oh, the nervous man who has bad taste in women. Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can't tell when
someone's a hooker
or
stealing from him.
Sean is wearing a San Diego Chargers, now LA Chargers, sweatshirt and calls Lassie Michael Vick later in the episode. Earlier in the show, in any given Friday night at 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central, they clearly make up professional football team / players. Yes, that can be true. Whatever.
Both can be true.
It's the whatever. Santa Barbara General Hospital at 420 Main Street is also used in the episode
Plays
True
it.
Or Lies from season 3.
Plays it.
Sean and Gus reference Grey's Anatomy while talking to Julia and Lassiter at the convenience store. Ernie Grunwald, who plays Donnie, also guest starred on Grey's Anatomy. There's some sort of reference to Pulp Fiction. I don't care about Quentin Tarantino, and I never will. And then we have Goofs.
I mean, what could get more goofy than we already have?
Sean says that he and Gus have bathed together before, to which Gus replies that it was when they were 3. However, it was established in an earlier episode that they met and became best friends when they were 5.
Hmm.
So did they bathe?
So which one's true, Gus?
So did they bathe together at 3, but they weren't really friends for like 2 whole years, and then they became friends at 5? What is it, Gus? Tell the truth. When
weird.
Dr. Raidman appears at the psych office to collect Sean's DNA, Sean says, "Well, you're in luck. I just drank a liter of T's tea. However, DNA is not found in urine."
No, correct. Yep. That was the joke that they were making there, because...
Yes,
yeah, okay.
Obviously.
Lord.
Obviously. At the beginning, Sean and Gus are walking along the beach and Juliet shows up. She complains of an odd smell and Sean throws his corn nuts, the source of the smell, behind him. Later in the hospital, Gus finds the corn nuts in Sean's sweatshirt while wearing the hazmat suit. Unless it's assumed Sean picked them up or got new corn nuts, they shouldn't have ended up in his sweatshirt pocket.
I'm sorry, third option. He had multiple opened packs of corn nuts in his pocket.
Sean throws his burrito, not the corn nuts. This is incorrectly regarded as a goof. So why did you even say this? I love it.
Sean has multiple open packs of corn nuts on his person during this episode.
Obviously.
One of them went in the sweatshirt with Gus. The other one is in his regular pants pocket.
Yes.
So they both smell bad.
When Sean is talking to Juliet on the phone while in the hotel room, he pulls the phone away from his ear and you can clearly see the screen indicating that he is not on a call. He then places the phone back to his ear and continues his conversation. Dead inside. Stop. Thank you.
Gus acting.
Gus asks Dr. Raidman whether he refers to the virus in the feminine tense. Feminine is not actually a tense, since tenses express time references.
I swear to God, I got into an argument with someone on Tumblr in like 2013 when I said the word tense when I meant case, and they decided to jump on me about it.
Oh, no.
And basically it ended with me A, blocking them, and B, calling them a huge nerd before I did. Like, I'm like, I don't care. You understood what I meant. Like, pedantic nerds.
And then last but not least, at the beginning when Henry is getting rid of Sean's lice, he hoses Sean's head down and there is heat coming off of Sean's head right afterward, which a hose would not give out.
Okay, counterpoint. If you yourself are hot enough, when you spray a cold hose on it, you will steam. I did see a fourth grader's head steam once.
Yeah.
Because they were running around a track so many times that they turned bright red, and when they stopped, they had physical steam coming off of their actual head. But it was very weird. It was like watching a cartoon.
What's most likely is that it was a brand new garden hose hooked up to a tank, because they're not going to...
Yeah.
Like, first of all, there's no garden hose. And also, like, that's a child. I'm pretty sure there's some sort of, like, you can't pour cold water on a child. That's not good.
Or that, yeah.
It's cold outside. They might freeze.
It's Vancouver. You should probably use hot water. That's valid.
Yeah.
That child's going to freeze to death.
I have a few notes that I took after I watched
it. I have a few notes that I took in my head as I watched it.
Yeah. Most importantly, this episode hits different after nearly 3 years of COVID.
Yeah, that was my top note too.
I was like,
they were like, yeah, and the possibility of a global like pandemic epidemic of these, like, people are bleeding from their eyes and we're gonna have to quarantine people and everyone's scared that they're gonna catch it and die. And I'm like, I wanna turn this off right now. I wanna turn this off right the f now.
I know,
like,
I know. The main nervous guy looks like a rejected Seinfeld cast member.
He does. That's he what he looks like.
He looks like he belongs on Seinfeld.
By the way, did you see, sorry.
Oh no.
Did you see someone resurface the photo of Rolling Stone's Seinfeld cover where they're all wearing leather daddy outfits?
No.
I'm gonna find it.
No.
Yes. Here, you keep reading.
Oh my God.
I'm gonna find it for you.
Okay. Yeah. Is it really pertinent that that girl who like scammed him with like a sex worker, it's like, what does that have to
I think that was their trying to convince him that she wasn't just into him.
Well, yeah, obviously, but it's just like,
yeah, some people
is
weird about
it's just the way that they were talking about it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sean is really single, I guess. They've established that he's single now, because before it was like, I'm waiting for Abigail to come back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for advocate.
In what universe is a burrito and corn nuts not allowed in a relationship? Like, why was that the, I'm doing all the things that I couldn't do with Abigail. You're eating a burrito and corn nuts.
I know exactly why.
Why?
Because both of those things make it difficult to kiss you.
Oh, true.
One of those makes the toots and the other one makes your breath atrocious.
Eh, maybe. I was just like, eh, okay. Rump Shaker is a banger. That is a great song.
Fair enough.
Government disregarding public health and safety sounds about right.
Yeah.
And then my final one, nacho cheese or death?
On the corn nuts?
Just.
In general?
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah.
Because
it's pretty much like the options that Sean presents Gus.
Are nacho cheese or death?
You have to make a choice between nacho cheese heaven and something that could potentially kill you. So, yeah, that's.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. But yeah, this, the last time I saw this episode was right at the beginning of quarantine. I mean, like, just Julia Louis-Dreyfus. Like,
correct.
Just that picture by itself.
The rest of them, bizarre.
All day, you. Every day for the rest of my life.
Anyway, okay, sorry, I found the photo.
Very nice.
Okay, so, something hit different.
It's just like, this whole episode is just like, and like, they don't respond like this, because that's how they, like, they're not that careful as you think they would be.
So I thought it was interesting that they fully were like, here's the reason why he wants to start this plague is because the government cut funding to his tiny lab.
Yeah.
And he's afraid that if there were a plague, there wouldn't be enough vaccines. And we did actually run into that, but not with vaccines. We ran into it with the ventilators.
Yeah.
Like, because the government stockpiled them and they didn't do any maintenance on them. Mm-hmm. So, like, this scenario actually played out in the real world a decade and a half after this episode aired.
Yeah.
But not with vaccines, thank goodness.
Maybe with, like, the antiviral stuff.
Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting that at the beginning, well, at all of this, it was definitely supposed to be an analog for Ebola.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole thing was just weird Ebola.
That was when...
Yeah, because Ebola was the big thing in 2010?
Yeah, and swine flu.
Yeah, swine flu, bird flu, Ebola, and then about 2014, it was Zika virus?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, this was definitely an Ebola analog, and I thought Gus was kind of funny for being like, this is a racist virus. It's like, well, my dude.
Yeah.
My dude. Oof.
Yeah.
But, like... Yeah, after experiencing COVID, it's almost like this episode, you're watching it and you're like, either you don't want to watch it or you're like critiquing every response that they have.
Yeah.
Because you've lived this.
There's one thing that drives me insane.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I know this has to, like, because they bring back the corn nuts later, but they make everybody take a shower in, like, the parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they put on scrubs. So they're
and then they put us back in the...
Yes. So they're essentially quote unquote sterile. And then he puts on a jacket that he somehow smuggled into the hospital.
Right. You're putting on this hoodie that is definitely collecting germs wherever it goes.
Yeah.
And it's still got the food in it, so it's not like it got washed.
Yeah.
Like, you're fully, like, telegraphing your lack of actual quarantine procedures. Because what that means is that where your critique was, the government wouldn't take this that seriously. They didn't.
Yeah.
Nobody stopped him from wearing that sweatshirt. Nobody stopped them from...
No,
like,
when
Sean was doing that confession at the end, he pulled his mask down to be heard more clearly. And I gasped.
Because
oh my God. He didn't know she didn't have it.
I know, exactly.
Like,
Anyway. Oh, no. And not even that. He doesn't have his own mask. He takes Gus's off of him.
Yes, used mask. Not only that, was Gus wearing his mask upside down? I could have sworn that that hard white line went on the top because it had the metal strip in it, right?
I don't know.
Okay, because the entire time he was wearing it, I was just watching his face like,
is he
wearing his mask upside
maybe
down?
Maybe it had, like, folded down or I don't know. Like, it just didn't...
I don't know. It was one of the ones that ties in the back, even though it was a disposable one.
They also didn't, like, tie it correctly.
True.
They wore their mask like I wore my N95s, but to be fair, the N95s, you can actually make a seal, so you don't have to put them, you should put them over your ears. I do not, because I cannot stand it, and it messes up my hair, whatever. So it's like, I'm safe enough.
Okay, you don't need to defend yourself. I'm just making faces at you. Like...
It's almost like
we're too close to this.
I'm too close to it.
It's like trying to talk about something that has to do with your profession. So, like, every time Abigail did something with kids, and I'm like, why are you doing that in a classroom?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is like that before everyone.
Yeah,
Oof. Yeah, the notes I was taking in my head were largely just me, like, thinking through every step of what they were doing and being like, why are they doing that? They're all going to catch Ebola or whatever they were calling it.
I know.
Like, although I think, isn't Ebola like bodily fluids transmitted? And this is like possibly aerosolized, but not very much.
I couldn't tell if it was, I thought the deal was you have to directly touch the virus. So, like, someone has to, like, sneeze on you.
Or something. Also, how does Jules cut her hand on the glass from a vial and it still come up negative? But also, they didn't even wait like 12 hours, so she probably fully has it in that scene. And how does your tests work? What is your incubation time on that? Like, did you take blood from the site of the cut? Is that what you're judging by?
Like, I, because it, Because fun fact, I finally got COVID over winter break.
Yeah, Grace finally caught the plague.
I did not wear a mask at the airport until like I was about to get on the plane. So that's probably how I got it.
Regrets.
I don't know. But
well, I'm going to the airport in a couple weeks, so we'll see. I'm going out of town.
Oh yeah. So, oh yeah.
So I have to take a plane. I will definitely be wearing probably two masks for that entire flight.
Yeah, you can get the N95s at Walgreens.
I have my own little cloth masks and I'm probably gonna wear like two of them.
Okay.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, no, just watching every moment and critiquing what they're doing. And I mean, hindsight is 20/20.
Literally, in many ways in this episode.
Like, we know better than them now. And this is Hollywood's take on how common people would react to the possibility of a tiny plague. It's like, dude. Anyway, hard to watch.
Hard to watch.
All right, is there any audience participation?
Nope.
Participate, please. If you would like to be a part of audience participation, drop us a comment. I mean, likes are awesome, but like if you talk to us, we can talk back.
Yeah.
So drop us a comment on Instagram, on Facebook, on TikTok, on, I don't know, I think you can leave reviews on our Redbubble shop.
Yeah, do
it. What a place to leave commentary. You can also leave us a voicemail on Anchor, which is where we are hosted. So on Instagram, we are Delicious Flavor. On Facebook, we are Delicious Flavor Pod. On Redbubble, we are DF Podcast. On TikTok, we are Delicious Flavor Podcast.
Yes.
Yes, I got it right. Okay.
Mostly.
Yeah, okay. I got some of them right. And you can find us.
It's really easy to find
I've
us.
Gotten most of them right on most of the episodes. Listen to another episode. Whatever. You'll get the information correct. There's probably also links. If you find one of our things, there's probably links to other things. So, like, meh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just sure. Go on, like, a scavenger hunt. It's like National Treasure, except way lower stakes. Yeah. Leave us a message. I, again, still don't believe that the Anchor voicemail system works. I've never seen it work for anyone except for YouTubers. And that's a conspiracy. Mm-hmm. That is my world's smallest conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, very low stakes. I mean, okay, so would you recommend this to her friend? Who has never seen Psych before?
No.
Because we all live through that, right?
Like, because it's just, it's not as traumatizing as I thought it was going to be.
That's fair. But I didn't know to anticipate it. I thought this was going to take place in a plane. I don't read episode summaries. I don't read hardly anything.
I just like reading episode summaries.
Anyway. Yeah, they're almost always wrong. But didn't we read one once and it was completely wrong?
It's like stuff on like...
I'm sorry, what does this one's episode summary say? How about you pull up the IMDb? I'm gonna pull up the Prime.
There's something...
Because...
IMDb is just...
I'm absolutely certain one of them will be wrong.
A murder in a convenience store leads Sean and Gus to believe that the victim contracted a deadly experimental virus and not only seek to find who's behind it, but believe they also hold the cure to it.
That's not even a little bit accurate.
That's not...
All right, Prime at least got it a little bit right. They say, Sean and Gus must recover a deadly pathogen before the thief releases it into the city. Judd Nelson guest stars. All of those things are true.
Yes.
In the correct order.
Yes.
So... All right, so IMDb, step up your game, because that was, again, incorrect.
Because that's basically user-submitted and...
Yeah.
Only the best of the best submit.
Why don't they just copy it from Prime? Come on. Intellectual property theft is not really theft if you steal from Amazon.
All you have to do is just credit the theft.
Also that. Or but, like, hour. Okay, so if I had read that ahead of time, if I'd read just the Prime one, because I don't go on IMDb ahead of time, I just click the play button on Prime. I probably would not have been like, oh, this is going to freak me out about 2020.
Yeah.
Or anything like that, because it doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't.
So if I'd never seen Psych before and I was just like, ooh, a deadly pathogen and a thief and Judd Nelson is this and this one, I'm going to start watching it.
Yeah, it's...
I would never watch the show again.
See, I think they wasted him as a guest star.
I think so too.
Because
He should have been a villain like Ali Sheedy was.
Yeah, like they...
That would have been fun. They could have just done the Evil Breakfast Club.
Oh my god.
Breakfast Club would have been so much fun. New fanfiction premise.
Oh my god, because like...
Evil Breakfast Club.
I love... I love Breakfast Club.
Same.
I recognize that there are flaws. There are problematic elements, especially with Judd Nelson's character.
Of course.
But
it's so fun.
It's so fun.
It's so fun. Remind me to show you the piece of art that I've been working on for multiple years because I keep forgetting about it and not starting it back up.
Oh my God.
It is Breakfast Club themed. When I eventually finish it.
How have you not told me this?
I don't know. Like, but anyway, I'll show you in a little bit.
Okay. But obviously, the reason why it doesn't read as well is because it was written for a different actor.
Yeah.
But, like, also, maybe before, this is just off the top of my head, before writing a role for a person, maybe
confirm that they'll take the role.
Yeah. Because, I don't know if Crispin Glover would have been good in that role, even.
I don't hardly know who he is, but thinking about the only thing I know of him from.
The only thing I know of him from is Back to the Future.
Is he especially flirty?
I don't think so.
Or were those lines just not super flirty and Judd Nelson was playing them flirtier?
I think Judd Nelson was being himself and I love it.
Huh. So he's just kind of a flirty sort of actor, huh?
I feel like that's just how he was doing it. Just as a bit, I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
But all the times that they reference the Breakfast Club, for them not to reference the Breakfast Club.
That's actually hilarious.
First of all, it's funny.
It's very funny.
Second of all.
But clearly not intentional.
You could have had so many stupid throwaway things.
Correct.
So
they had enough of them.
You
in the past.
Could have named the virus after like the last name of like the principal or something.
Yes.
Like
just some dumb thing.
Because yes,
you can go in and post and do that. Like
yes, you did. Like they did fully
after hiring Judd Nelson. You could just change that one thing in the script.
They did fully make a reference to the ending of the Breakfast Club and the ending of the school reunion thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like. You have the technology.
Yeah.
You can do it. Why would you?
Yeah. No, I think that is wasted.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wouldn't recommend this to a newbie. I wouldn't even put this in like my top 10 recommends.
No.
Because while it's interestingly written, it's not particularly clever. It's more likely to send someone into the throes of panic.
It also plays upon the... I am a Sean and Jules shipper. I always have been. I always will be. Like the actors even dated in like real life for a very long time. It's obvious that they have like chemistry, but I cannot stand this. He loves her, but he can't tell her. He can't even tell himself that.
He says everything else that ever comes into his mind out loud. He barely has any internal dialogue. It is all external.
Yeah, but he can like...
So dumb.
But he's like, I gotta tell her how I feel. And then
no, you don't. You really don't.
Truly don't. But also it's just like, okay, you have the opportunity and you can't even say the words, which means you're not ready to tell her that you love her. If you cannot say, I love you, you shouldn't say it.
It's true, but also you shouldn't tell someone that you love them.
Just because they're dying of a
virus.
Hey,
look at that. You're finishing my sentences. If there's anything 2020 taught us, it's don't stay with someone when you're in quarantine. And do not tell someone you love them just because you think they're about to die.
Yeah,
like
awful.
Oof.
Selfish.
Oof. I don't know. What'd you rate it?
Oh, God. Like 6 out of 10. Inappropriate comments from Judd Nelson.
Okay. I was thinking 5 out of 10 suspicious DNA sample. yeah, so maybe a 5.5 between the two of us. So not great, because I think
great.
The last couple have been in like the 7s and 8s. So
yeah, like it's like, not
Will we ever find a 10?
Yes.
Lord only knows. Between the two of us, who knows?
The Telenova episode would be a 10, but there's a couple things that bring it down a little bit.
Yes, fair enough.
So.
Among other things.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right, well, I've been Zed.
I've been Grace.
This has been an episode of a podcast about
a little
show from a while ago.
A little bit short, but I mean, you know.
But weirdly relevant to today's life.
Yeah. Oh, oof. Stay safe out there, guys.
Wear a mask,
please.